Might be in Mahalakshmi.
Oh.
Wants us to die as a public guy. So, tomorrow is, you lose your tail for 2 days, after that you'll get it back. Ram Vijayotsava, huh? Ram Vijaya, Vijaya, yeah, Utsava, festival. Yes. Yes, the anniversary. The victory of good over evil. Krishna Tab Punya Have Bai. Okay. Jai. Krishna Tab Punya Have Bai. So, there's the, what do you call it? It's like Lilamrita or something like that, Remembrances. And it describes that Prabhupada was in San Francisco and the Ram Vijay festival came. And so then Prabhupada had them write the verse on the board. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Yeah. And then they, I think he had them take a candle on a plate. They make circles until they were tired, then pass it to somebody else like that. They kept on chanting that. Then Mogalila said he was in Bombay and they installed Sitaram deities and they asked if they could chant Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. And then Prabhupada said only on Ram Vijaya and Ram Dashami or something other than that. And he couldn't do it or should do it sparingly or something like that. You know? Trying to pick them with Mahalakshmi. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Adita Pavana Sita Ram. Yeah, so Ramachandra, of course, you all know is incarnation of Krishna. And all the incarnations, he's a Leela avatar. The Purusha avatars, they are always with us. Yeah. They're like the minister of prisons, the individual prison warden and the prison guards. Hare Krishna, we're online here for our class. All the devotees are here. Everybody say Hare Bol. Okay. Jai. So today is the festival of, tomorrow is festival Ram Vijayotsava. So we are maybe going to learn a little bit of some prayers for Ram. Of course, what we all know is Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. You know that? You don't know it? You know it? Okay. What does it mean? What does Raghupati mean? Huh? Yeah, yeah, Raghupati, master of the Raju dynasty. Yeah, Patni is husband, I think. Yeah. Raghupati Raghava. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Raghupati Raghava. Raghava means coming in the dynasty, and Raghupati means the leader or the master. Yeah, Raghupati Raghava. So Ram is a Raghava. And he's also Raghupati, yes, the master of the Raghu dynasty, Raghupati Raghava Raja, Ram, okay, Sri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, What that means? Yeah. The purifier of the fallen, Sitaram. Lanka Vijaya. Okay. Dasaratha Nandana. Janaki Balaba. Beloved of Janavi. Janaki. And why is she called Janaki? Okay. And what's special about him? He's me. Yeah, but he's one of the Mahajans. You know, Shiva, Kumar, Maya, Swayambhuva, Manu, and who else? Kapila, Narada, and Janak. He's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, right? Says that great souls such as Janak and others who are self-realized, but still they acted properly. So, very great personality. Okay? Yeah. And he was plowing the ground to do a sacrifice. And in the furrow, the plow furrow, it showed up this little beautiful little baby, I guess, on a box or something like that or something. So Sita means like plow furrow or plow or something like that. You know, so she appeared from celestial influence like that. So tomorrow we can talk more about this. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Dasaratha Nandana Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Dasaratha Nandana Sri Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Dasaratha Nandana Raja Ram Sri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Ayodhya Pati Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Ayodhya Pati Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Oh! Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Janaki Balava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Dayab. Hey. Hare Krishna. Jai Ram. Jana Bhagavan. Aki. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Vaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Okay, so we're focusing on the nectar of instruction these evenings, which includes everything, so we can talk about anything, whatever, from Bengal all the way to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, like that. So, we talked about the preface, and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and the song Gauranga Bolite Habe. And we talked about Vachovegam, Manasa, Krodavegam, the push of the mind, push of the senses, these things. And we'll skip 7 and 8, text number 7 and 8. And he says, in text number 7, where is this on my robot here? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, text number 7. Tanama Rupa Charita De. Shat Krishna. I think it's Tam or Shat. Shat Krishna Nama Charita De. Sitapiya Vidya. Pitopatapta Rasanasa. Narochi Kanu. Kinvadarad Anudinam Sahakala Justa Swavikramad Tagada Mulahantri. And combining the two different verses are very similar, so combining them and trying to look for the text at the same time here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sa Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapiya Vidya Patopatapta Rasanasa Narochikanu Kinvadarat Anudidam Kalu Saiva Jista Svadvikramad Bhavatita Garamula Hantri. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within this tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So he's talking in the beginning about sambandha, right? Lord Chaitanya says all the Vedas talk about three things. Sambandha, avideya, prayojana. So who's the guru for sambandha? No? Well, who's the deity for sambandha? Madan Mohan. Because what does Madan mean? No, Madan means Cupid. Yeah, Madan is Cupid. He's shooting arrows at everybody. Whack, 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 whack. You know, smell, taste, form, touch. We're all attracted by the opposite sex. But he becomes bewildered when he sees Krishna. You know, which arrow? They're all useless against him. You know, so he becomes bewildered. So Krishna is Madan Mohan, the bewilderer of Cupid. Yeah. And then, so the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is attracted to Draupadi, you know, for gratification. She's refused to tie her hair up until Duryodhana's dead, and she's been giving him a hard time for 14 years. So at last he gets a chance to get revenge, and he can go home in the evening and drop all the crowns of these rascals at her feet, and she'll tie her hair up and say, "Thank you, Arjuna." Yeah, and he'll feel happy. My woman's happy with me, you know. So it's a little passion, you know, but it's justified. It's all within the ranges of Dharma. From the general point of view, like that Dharma Shastra, for a karmi. But the result of following karma is you really understand it doesn't make you happy. That's the result of following it. You know? And so then you become a wise man. Okay, so then Arjuna wants to walk away from everything, okay, renounce it, but even still, your jnana will bring you to the point of realizing even that's not going to satisfy you. What to speak of karma, even wisdom won't satisfy you. So then, what does he do? He says, Sisyas teham sarimam te papanam. Sisyas teham, I am your sarimam. Instruct me, papanam. Yeah, nishingham adhyam saranam prapadye. Yeah. I am your disciple. Please instruct me. I am surrendered to you. So Krishna kind of looks at him and says, okay, if you want me to be your guru, I'll do it. Yeah. Hey, listen, rabbi. That's the first thing he says. Hey, rabbi. Yeah. Hey, pundit. You know, Arjuna's sitting there with, you know, laser-directed hellfire anti-tank rockets and all these guys got like 457 Magnum, crossbow, you know, hand grenades, everything hanging off. He's, hey guys, let's talk about this. You know, look, you seen the Bible lately? The Quran has said this. Not, you know, and Krishna's chastising him. Like, you know, he probably says that he's acting sarcastic. Hey pundit, you know, and you're giving all these big pragnavadams, big speeches like that. But you don't know the first thing about philosophy, and that is we aren't the body. You know, after that, we'll start calculating. You know, so Krishna becomes Diksha Guru, Madan Mohan, and because he attracts Arjuna away from Draupadi for sense gratification, away from Madan, and that's the job of Diksha Guru, is to start our, Diksha means to initiate, is to get us started like that. Shiksha Guru before initiation is Padarshika Guru, or what's the other one? There's two ways to say it, you know, Papradarshika or Vartmana, no, acronyms. Anyway, he's showing us the path. We'll come back later, yeah. Huh? Yeah, Pat means path, Papradarshika. Yeah, he's showing us like that. So he's showing us the path, which we're trying to go to the you know, the happy land, someplace there, some nice place, you know. We're going through the jungle, climbing over these bushes, everything else. And someone looks down from us and he says, hey, if you come up here like about, this is 10 meters here, there's a nice pathway that goes right there. So you go, you have a little faith, you try it out, you go there, ah, there we go. You know, we got there, on the pathway. So anybody can do that. You can be an alcoholic or anything else, you know. But he can just tell us what is the pathway. So we can all be Shiksha Guru, instructing guru, right? In that sense, Vartmana Pradarshika, yeah, or Pradarshika. And then after that, then to actually take formal initiation, you know, then that's Diksha Guru, you know. He's attracting us away from Cupid, engage us in the service of Krishna. So that's Madan Mohan, you know, that deity, that's Sambandha. And then Diksha Guru is, so Krishna became Diksha Guru. Arjuna is so much engaged in Maya, wants to see the enemy, wants to subtly enjoy, okay, who is here? I want to see who they are before I annihilate them. Ah, like that. So he puts him right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Yeah, two people who never did anything wrong to him, you know, who gave sacrifice everything for him. Then he comes to his senses. Wow, this is karma. Yeah. So then after that he surrenders, then Krishna becomes, he ceases to be Madan Mohan, and he becomes Govinda, which is instructing guru, and tells us, well, what is the process? You're on the path, you started, you're looking for a job, you go to so many places, leave your application, then one day you get a, you know, a letter that says, okay, we like your resume, we're willing to hire you. If you want a job, come to 429, you know, Konstog Street at 4:40 p.m. and talk to Mr. Smith. Yeah, okay. So, okay, you know, I'm going to work for the bank of Piggy or something. I'm going to work for the bank. But what do? I don't know. Do they want a bank guard? Do they want somebody, you know, cashier to change the money? Do they want somebody in their management program? But I want to work for them. This is Sambandha. You know. But then what is my job? Okay, that's Abhideya. You know, you get up in the morning, you know, get regulated, chant your rounds on beads, rest like this. You know, it's okay. You know. And then if we do that, then what happens? What's the conclusion? Krishna ceases to be Govinda and he becomes... Yeah, now what is he doing? Huh? No. Huh? No. He's enjoying our service now. Yeah. There's no more instruction necessary like that. Yeah. Now he's just enjoying our service. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, the conclusion, serving Krishna. So Krishna is adopting all these different positions. And the beginning, this is verses Shatnama Krishna Charitadi Sitapiya Vidya. We're so attached to all this material enjoyment, we can't get any kind of satisfaction. So then somehow or other, Krishna gets us out of this, and by regularly chanting. Yeah, chanting will always have an effect. Eating will always have an effect. I mentioned before, you can go a long time on beer and pretzels before you die. Maybe even several years eating, you know, beer and potato chips, you know? Yeah, you'll die eventually, but a slow, joyful death, you know, like that, and beer and potato chips. Oh, maybe a long time you can go if you're determined, you know? Yeah. But if you eat properly, there'll be more effect like that. So for that reason, we take initiation, we worship the deity, we do so many things like that, so the chanting has, like, you know, more rapid effect like that. You know? So it says, by carefully chanting the sweet names every day, then what happens? Our disease is destroyed at the root. We run the Brajmando Parikrama, like that. We came to, where is it, Shirgat? No. Where Krishna stole the clothes from the Shirgat. Shirgat. There's two. There's one in Vrindavan, and there's one on this bank of the Jamuna, way out there, little village, nowhere. So the Jamuna was low that year, so our big our camp with 400 devotees and tents was on the sand of the Jamuna. And I got up in the morning, I was going to go walk off and take my bath in Jamuna early, and I get up like 1:30, nobody else was getting up then. So I'm walking, the campsite's getting small, farther and farther away, and I'm all alone, and I walked right into the water of Jamuna, I couldn't even see it. Ah! I was frightened like that. My God, damn, what is this? Yeah. And remembering Prabhupada says, they will cut your throat for a lota. You know, I have my lota with me for bathing, oh my God. Yeah. So I began to thinking, well, why are you so afraid? You know, you're here in Vrindavan and everything else. You know, do you trust Krishna? So my mind's going through these logical questions. You know? And I was realizing, yeah, I was still afraid of all this stuff. Well, after so many years, what's the use of chanting? You know? But then I began to realize that my mind was still with all these things, this nature. I still had this Western, lusty, gross body, okay, you know, like that. But at heart, I realized I was changing. You know? So this is what happens. If somebody else, they may get more control over their senses, they may get more control over their mind, but in their heart, their idea is, by all this, I will become God. Yes. One yogi said, you know, yeah, my guru, he becomes self-realized, and now my guru is having sex with every part of the universe at every moment. He's having sex with the microphone. He's having sex with the bookstand. He's having sex with his nose. He's having sex with, you know. So this is the greatest illusion, right? That the tiny infinitesimal jiva can become the all-pervasive God, you know. So his senses are in goodness, his mind is in goodness, but his heart is in, you know, in gross as ignorance like that. So we're trying to take care of that problem. Right? You've got a nasty tree, you know, full of cobras, everything else. Keep cutting down the branches, they keep growing back again and again. But finally you start working on the root, and the root is really gets more and more weak until finally the time of death, when all this stuff happens, the river flows once a year. What happens to the tree? It just pulls up and it goes away. Adios, cobras. Yeah. And you haven't got to take care of them one by one, anything else, you know? So go on chanting, you know? Tagara mula hantri. Hantri, mula means the root. Hantri, destroyed like that. So this is text number 7, right? He's recommending we engage in Shatnama, Krishna, Charitadi. It's a sequence. The name, you chant Hare Krishna, then you want to see the form of Krishna and Hara. Like that? Okay, Nama, Rupa, the form. And then what? You see the form, then you start to realize he has qualities. You know? Krishna is friendly, Krishna is very powerful. What else? Krishna is unhappy. You know? Okay, Nama, Rupa, Charit, qualities. Then what? Huh? Sangha, associates, right? You know, if Krishna is powerful, that means there must be demons for him to, you know, harass, or cows to control. If Krishna is funny, he's joking with somebody. If Krishna is merciful, there's, you know, yeah. So these qualities expand into relationships. And then there's lila. Nama, rupa, charit or guna, qualities. Yeah. Sangha, lila. And that's it. That's the whole thing. Yeah. So both of these verses are recommending the same thing. Shat Nama, Krishna, Charit Adi, Sitapiya Vidya. The next verse is Tan, not Shat, Tam. It should be T first because it's a PQR. S is first. Okay. This is a mnemonic device. Creating a mnemonic link. Tanama Rupa, Charit Adi, Sukirtan Anushmito Kramena, Rasana Manasi Nyojan Tishtan Vraje to Anuragi Jana Anugami Kalem Nayed Iti Upadesha Shara. So Upadeshamrita is the essence of all advice, and text number 8 is the essence of the essence of all advice. If you haven't got time for a big thesis or anything else, right? Yeah. One boy was getting on a train one time, leading. He had his backpack on. I was getting off the train. I saw him there in the station. And he was going to catch the next train, and I was getting that train. And we started talking. He said, I just decided to leave college. I wasn't getting anything. I decided just to travel everywhere and try and find something. And then we're talking a little bit about what are you doing? Are you a monk? Yeah, this and that. You know, what's your philosophy? What's your idea? His train was pulling out. So I had Upadeshamrita around my neck. So I ran after it and gave it to him. And he took it. Maybe Adam is here now, right? Yeah. So what is the essence? Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu, which he probably translates as, the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, okay, 24 hours a day, okay, yeah, in nicely chanting and remembering, what is that? Is it Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, yeah? The Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, and thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. Rasana manasi. Yeah? Engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Raja or Iskan. Iskan. Is that Prabhupada Saraswati has his glories of Vrindavan Dham? You know, the glories of Vrindavan Dham. So if you go through and change Vrindavan for Iskan, it's everything very interesting. If someone tells me to leave Iskan, I will cut out his tongue. If someone tries to drag me from Iskan by force, I will kill him. Even though I'm so poor that I have to steal from others to live, I will never leave Iskan. It's very interesting. People think that there are defects in Iskan. Everything in Iskan is perfect and pure, absolutely. Only fools see the defects in Iskan. GBC would love this. I pray that I do. They are the object of everybody's laughter. I pray I do not see their faces at the time of death. It's true, you know, in this sense. It's true. You know, there's Iskan which has defects for us to correct, some work for us to do. You know. But they're all there for a certain purpose. And Prabhupada's the founder, Acharya. Okay. So the transcendental pure is gone. Okay. Prabodhananda Saraswati says in Vrindavan, the Brijbasis are just men and women. The deities in the temples are just marble statues. Enough of this nonsense. I want to see the real Vrindavan, you know, where Radha and Krishna are directly engaging in pastimes under the Bhangsibhat trees, where the fruits and flowers and the trees are jewels, where the rain is power, nectar. Yeah. Give me that ticket. I want a ticket to that Vrindavan. Okay, live in Vrindavan, live in Goloka, and serve Krishna under the guidance of advanced devotees, Ragatmika. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So he's recommending two things. Before he's recommending Sambandha, in the previous text, Shaktimala. Wow, okay. Before he's recommending to engage in the process to get free from our attachment to the material world and become attached to Krishna, like that. And then if we develop a natural relish, he said, which is kind of like Adoshvada, Vajnakriya, Nartanaviti, Rishnishta, Ruchi. Yeah, Ruchi. Once you have that, go on with the process, yeah. And what happens? Yeah, engage your mind all the time, so become fixed in samadhi, constant meditation. And then he's saying Raganuga. Follow these very, very advanced Ragatmika devotees, like Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda. So if you take a little bit of work, you can see it's a very clear process. At certain levels, certain things are applicable. It's not that you should go to some, you know, somebody's chanting the Gopinath Bhajan with one hand, other hand, you're smoking a bidi, you know, Gopinath, you know. And he tells you, yes, I will tell you your eternal form. Take diksha, give donation to my deity, like that, and I will give you your eternal form. Your name is Labangalatika, you are a gopi, you wear red sari, you play with blue ball, okay, thank you. No. This is only at the level of raga, you know, raga nuga bhakti, when you're actually at the level of taste things. You know, you can't follow exactly by yourself. We give the example that you can play the piano, kind of follow, okay, you know. Scales, you know the technical stuff, you can do it. You know what the priorities are. You're liberated by Vaidya Bhakti, you know. And now you can start to appreciate a taste, right? And when your teacher plays the song in the violin, then you can play the piano along with him. You know, you can get into it, right? But by yourself, you can't do it, but you can follow it. You're that sophisticated enough now. And by following, you're starting to get more and more purified, more and more purified, more and more purified. You know? So in the purport, very nice, Prabhupada says, since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, okay, one has to train the mind to become one's friend, okay. Friend, my mind. Yeah, it's like a bad dog. Also in the Brajman, you know, the Parikrama, there's so much austerity, no? So much stress and so much strict sadhana. Every day you get up, you walk, there's no distractions in any way. It's a very good yoga. So I was seeing, after some time, my mind was just like this bad dog. You know, always wanted to bite people, urinate on things. It was just, it wasn't pacified by sense gratification. It was looking to criticize somebody, you know. It was looking to bathe itself in the urine of criticism. How can I enjoy some criticism, you know, like that, you know. Her nose is too big. His ears are too wide. It's like anything. My mind was like, so it's like pulling it back, you know, smiling, you know, yeah. And sometimes it gets out of control and bites somebody in the Vrindavan. That is hell if you engage in some kind of like, you know, Vaishnava aparad or something in Vrindavan. So the mind may be your friend, my friend, or maybe your enemy, yeah. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind. What are we trying to do here? Yeah, how many people here are crazy? Raise your hand. We're talking about completely mad or half mad, either way. Pramat means walking around talking to yourself. Anumat, sounds like Hanumat, means half mad. You know, so more or less everybody in material consciousness is Anumat. Yeah. Especially meant to train the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions. What are those in Sanskrit we're studying in our class? Vasanas. Yeah. Okay. Not only of this life, but of also many past lives. Many, many lives in the past. Wow. Many, many. That's a long way back. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can be dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.6, it is said, Tam-tam. Tam-tam-ibhaya-tikuntaya sadata-bhava-bhavitaha. Please repeat. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavan tyajati anti kalevaram tam tami vaiti kuntaya sadatha bhava bhavitaha. So whenever you see these verses, take a moment, read them, translate them, yeah, look them up later on maybe, and that way you're studying the Bhagavad Gita the way Prabhupada uses it. Right? It's a natural study guide. Just look these verses up, take a second. Yeah. So translation. Yeah, without doubt. So bhava, the word is bhava, yam yam vapi smaran. Smaran means to meditate. Yeah. It's not just remembering the capital of the United States of America is Washington, D.C., the capital of Brazil is Brasilia, the capital of Argentina is Buenos Aires. No, that's kind of, that's superficial, you know, intellectual. It has to penetrate deeper and deeper to the heart. Different levels like that will be described. So smaranam, we have to come to smaranam, and whatever bhava, state of consciousness, and that's a fact, it's a state of consciousness we're meditating on. If we're in, you know, man consciousness, like women, some girl, like this man crazy, you know, boy crazy, or girl crazy, or money crazy, or country crazy, or you know, and horse crazy, you know, some people love their horse, you know, like that. Yeah, yeah, okay. So we want to be Krishna conscious, you know. What? How do you say ISKCON in Hindi? Yeah? ISKCON. Sri Krishna Antaratra, Sri Krishna Antarastrika Bhavan Amrita Sangha. Sri Krishna Antarastrika Bhavan Amrita Sangha. Yeah. So Bhava, consciousness is translated as Bhava, like that. Yeah? So that's what we're trying to do. You know, have a certain perspective on things, certain viewpoint, be absorbed in that. And whatever that we're contemplating on the time of death, that will take us to our next body, without a doubt. Hamlet realized the same thing. It's very nice. They have a whole PowerPoint show, Hamlet and Arjuna. It's really popular. I kind of want to give it up, but it's really, because there's so many parallels, so many things, very profound, you know, in both of them, Bhagavad Gita and Hamlet. You know. Whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. As a time of death, the mind and the intelligence of a living being create the subtle form of a certain type of body for next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, that one has to take a corresponding birth in his next life. On the other hand, if one thinks of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? Goloka? Gokula. Goloka. Yeah. Okay. Gokula. Not Gokula. Goloka. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna Prasad. Sri Rupa Goswami further advises Tishtan Vraje. One should live in Vrindavan or any part of Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be how many kroshas? Yeah, chaurasi. Chaur means four, asi means eight. Chaurasi krosh. You say chaurasi krosh parikrama. It's the parikrama that goes around all 84 krosh. In area, one krosha equals 2 square miles. And therefore the district of Mathura is how many square miles? 84 krosh. Yeah, 168 square miles. That's pretty big, actually. 1 mile is quite a bit of land, actually, square mile like that. I mean, how many? It's like 20 parcels, they figure, in the United States. I mean, when they're pioneering the United States, they would have like a township, 1 square mile, we'd divide it up, you know. And I forgot what it was. I think it was like maybe 1/20 or something. It was like enough to be, we figured one family, grandparents, everybody, could live on 1/20. Is that what it is? So some, because also that's not a very habitable climate too, North America like that. So 168 square miles is actually a lot of space. If you ever see like a map of Vrindavan, you have all the villages, and it's like, I don't know, maybe again like so many villages, one after another, you know, Garuda Govinda, and they all have their own particular pastime, right, and tradition and stuff like that. So it's just like it's unlimited. You can just wander around in the Braj and get lost, you know, in gray hair, old clothes. And you go to the door in the morning, you say, Mataji, there are they. Ah, oh, Baba, we're taking here. Come on in. Like that. Take some roti, sabji. Yeah. So yeah, every day, the Braj Basis feed so many people. It's just their custom. And people wandering around there. Sometimes you may not eat. A couple of days, okay. You may meet a couple of nice guys doing bhajan. Where are you going? Oh, there's a festival in Varsana. Come, okay. You walk. Overnight, stop at the side of the road, it's late, a little water in your water pot, just like that. You know, bathe, get up next morning, keep on going. Jai. Sannyasi, jai. Yeah. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. Okay. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay? This is the introduction, and then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the full science. Now these two verses that Prabhupada is going to quote here are the two verses. See, again, it's not just like some verse. These are the two verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu which talk about Raganuga Bhakti and so many commentaries. And there's no more. These two especially. Krishna Smaran Janam Chasya Prestam Nija Samihitam Tat Tat Kata Ratash Chasau Kura Kuryad Vasa Vrajay Sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Raja and always engage in Krishna Smaran Janam Chasya Prestam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. Yeah? Janam means people, I guess. Yeah? Yeah? And Smaran. The remembrance of Krishna and his beloved associates. Following the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, yeah, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's already there. It's just Siddha Krishna Prema, but it'll wake up, yeah, by taking advantage of this Raganuga Bhakti. Again, Rupa Goswami advises, and this is 1.2.295, before it was 1.2.294, what does this mean? 1.2. What does that mean? Our students. 1.2.294. What does that mean? Which is the first ocean? Northeast, southwest? Eastern ocean. 1.2. Which is? Sadhana Bhakti. Yeah, okay. And this is 295, so we're getting to the end of Sadhana Bhakti, right? We've already gone through all the rules and regulations. Now we're coming to Raganuga. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena cha atrahi tadbhava lipshuna karya vraja lokanusharataha. In the transcendental realm of Vraja, one should serve the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, with a feeling similar to that of his associates. And one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and follow in his footsteps. This, of course, means like Nanda Maharaj or Yashoda. Or with Prabhupada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practice is executed while in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, yeah, God realization. So either case, you know, one can become a Raganuga Bhakta when one is a Siddha Purush or a spiritually perfected soul. Now, Prabhupada says, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has commented as follows upon this verse. So where is that commentary? What's it called? No? Close. Very close. Huh? Anuvritti. Yeah. So his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wrote the Piyush Varshana Vritti. And then he wrote the Anuvritti, like that, following the Piyush Varshana Vritti. And he says in the Anuvritti that my father has written this, but before he could actually finish very much, he was leaving his body or something, and so he asked me to do it, so I began the work. But before he left his body, I finished it. I couldn't finish this, but now I finished it, and on his anniversary day, I think of his disappearance, appearance, I'm offering this, you know, Anuvritti to him. So you see, practically speaking, every single verse Prabhupada says, you know, furnishes his purport. In the second half, he says, in his commentary on Anuvritti, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. So if you look at that as a translation in English, you can see how Prabhupada is just taking that. Even his purports are pretty much based upon taking what Bhakti Siddhanta says sometimes. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta says, over-collecting means to acquire too many mystical powers. Do not acquire too many mystical powers. Okay? Okay, yeah. And then Prabhupada says, you know, breaking the principles means do not take LSD, you know. So there was no LSD, you know, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, about Bhakti Siddhanta. So that way the Acharya has to make a little adjustment like that. Yeah? Yeah. But you know, for example, we were in a Sunday feast in Guayaquil in where's that country? Guayaquil. It's in Ecuador. And I was giving this whole Sunday feast lecture, and then one lady, about 42 or something, she said, oh, I like your philosophy very much. I've been very attracted. I've been coming now to temple for about maybe 3 weeks. But I have a big problem, you know. So what's that, you know? Because it says in your books that bread is for obtaining, satisfying illicit desires. And I have a bakery, right? You know? Spanish? Espanol? Yeah. So we said, it doesn't say that in our books, that bread is for satisfying illicit desire. So I opened up the Upadeshamrita, and Prabhupada says that one should not take haritaki, pan. So the word for bread in Spanish is pan. Yeah. In Hindi, it's something else you do. You know? So therefore, being an extra charya, yeah, we all told her, no, it's something else in India. Oh, okay. You know, like that, yeah. So that's what we have to do. We have to take it and put it in a language, you know, make adjustments according to our realization, our position, like that. You know? But basically, you see, Prabhupada, if you read the Anuvritti, it's just Prabhupada's just following it, you know? Like that. You know? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting, hearing, remembering Krishna and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. So whenever I read this, I was having a hard time understanding this. If you haven't got any interest in Krishna consciousness, then why are you going to take up the process? Like that, you know? So here, the interest means ruchi. Yeah, adoshvada, sadhusanga, bhajanakriya, nishtya, ruchi. Anybody who hasn't got a taste for this, but he knows, I better do this or I'm going to go to hell. You know, he looks around at all the other friends and associates and everybody else and say, they've all gone to hell. I don't want to go to hell. You know? I don't want to smoke a pile of cigarettes this high like that before I come back to Krishna. Like that. Let me avoid that particular pathway, you know. Yeah. So therefore, maybe we're following Krishna consciousness because we're afraid of God or because we want something. You know, yeah? This is devotional service, the mode of ignorance, passion, Kapiladev explains this. Or because we understand that this is what we should do, very clearly, like that, the mode of goodness. Yeah? And so this, in this level, you know, actually this is the first level of smarnam, intellectual, then we take to the process. We train the mind by following the rules and regulations because we're convinced that they'll wake up this taste by doing this, like that. Many times you're leading a kirtan, you're chanting, there's no taste, but you go on doing it because you know, okay, you know, I'll come back in line, you get a taste, it's nice, you fall out again like that. You go on like that, you know. With chanting it properly, you know, pronouncing clearly, you know, everything else. Because you know, yeah, eventually I'll get back into this ruchi. Okay. Yes, where? Krishna, yeah, okay, fourth after. Yeah. In this way, after developing a taste, coming to ruchi, what happens after ruchi? Nishta, ruchi, asaktis. Yeah? After developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan. So we shouldn't try to get people to move into the temples too soon. You come to the temple, you visit, but don't try and move in the ashram, everything else, until you've actually got a little taste for this. Otherwise, it's just too frustrating. It's too austere, all this kind of stuff. You know, no place, I haven't got my own place. I have to get up a certain time. And you become angry, you commit offenses. No, only when you got a little taste for it, Krishna consciousness. Then it's like everything's horrible. These people are all irritated. My boss is an irritated guy. But okay, 6 o'clock, I can take a bath. There's hot milk. You know, I can eat. I've got to pass by my senses. There's nice RT, kirtan. Okay, you know. You've got a taste for the regulative principles like that. You know? So then you can tolerate it. You can make it. Yeah. Okay. Once you try to live in Vrindavan, once you try to live in ISKCON, and pass this time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, qualities, under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. So it's very important. You know? When some people were commenting, they were participating in one of these big Bhakti Shastri programs someplace, and they said it was very impersonal. Their teachers would come, they'd show up at the time of the class. Some of them were like the visiting guests. They would teach and they would go away the next day. At the end of the time, somebody else gave the examination. They took the examination, went away. And they only saw the administrators in the time of the inauguration. That was it. It was like, you know, very impersonal at that time. You know? No, we really have to have this. When people joined the temple in San Francisco, the Bhakta program was Jayananda. He was like, somebody new came. And pretty much somebody said, oh, you can work with Jayananda. Here's Jayananda. He could everybody. He would just look at everybody and just, you know, he was a very great personality, right? Everybody would get him engaged like that automatically. Say, yeah, what's your name? What are you doing? Like that. Oh, yeah, yeah, I used to do that. It's this and that. Hey, come on, we're going to do this now. Okay, you know. Everybody, he would just like find their nature like that, you know. So we need that association of senior devotees like that. Of course, Prabhupada's here. He's always here. And it's the same thing when Prabhupada was here. He was always here. But somebody may have been following Hansa Duda, somebody may have been following Bhagavan, somebody may have been following Rameshwar, somebody may have been following Satsarup, somebody may have been following, you know, like that. You know? So, Kanista Adhikari and Majjhima Adhikari can accept disciples. What is that? But their guidance is not going to be complete. Therefore, the aspirant can accept them as guru, you know, as teacher, but he should accept Anuttama Adhikari as a guru, okay, also. We have Prabhupada here. Very simple. Many people there are taking initiation. You know, Hansa Duda makes them devotee. Hansa Duda tells them everything. They prefer to talk to Prabhupada through Hansa Duda, like that. But if when Hansa Duda is doing something a little odd, they come to Prabhupada and they say, well, yes, I will talk to him, like that. Who is that? One devotee, he was temple president in London. He said Shyamasundara was doing, making money and going places and coming and going, doing so many things like that, you know. So he said he went, people were disturbed by this, and they wanted to know who it is, I don't know. They wanted to talk to Prabhupada about it, you know. So he finally convinced Vibhuti Nandan Swami to go with him. So he sat in front of Prabhupada, and he started complaining about Shyamasundara. And Prabhupada turned to Vibhuti Nandan Swami and said, tell him to leave immediately. Like that. And so, like that. So Vibhuti Nandan said, well, Prabhu probably wants you to leave, and like that. So he, you know, went out, you know. Then he said, Rabbatananda Swami said, Prabhupada said, what is Shyamasundara doing? Like that. But the whole humor was wrong, right? It was to try and destroy his authority, you know, to go to Prabhupada, you know? But if he had the other thing, or actually concerned with your authority, like that, he's doing something wrong, you go to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, my authority has these problems now. Prabhupada said, oh, really? I'll talk to him. Don't you worry. You don't be disturbed like this. He's a good devotee, but he has his problems too. You know? Yeah? So it's a very subtle thing, understanding older God brothers and everything else like that. You know? But always Prabhupada, right? He is the Acharya, and he's always there for everybody, like that, if we're sincere. You know? The devotee who at that time he was temple president, it was a remembrance thing he was talking about. And he said he learned at that point. He could see, yeah, he was going there because he had this, you know, some agitation, envy for his own gratification. He wanted to adjust Shyamasundara for his gratification, like that, you know. And he wasn't appreciating his position in service like that, you know. So it was very serious Vaishnava aparad, like that. Yeah, and Prabhupada corrected it. After that, it was, you know, probably may have acted differently, but that was all he was ready for. After that, he was like, to gigantic step forward in his Krishna consciousness, you know. Yeah, Prabhupada's the founder of Acharya. Nobody shall share or occupy this position during or after his lifetime. But then, you know, Prabhupada's just reading, Prabhupada says that we should accept our senior godbrothers who are more advanced than we are as almost the same as spiritual master. Okay. Yeah. Because they're not. What is the test of an advanced devotee? He's not envious. He's not proud. He's not trying to surpass Prabhupada. He's trying to give us Prabhupada. He feels unqualified. Yeah? Yeah? Okay? Okay? Okay. We should serve Krishna under the protection of expert devotees. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Bhaktisiddhanta. Now he gives a very nice technical summary. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasha. And I think these are from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his writings. I'm trying to get the exact reference. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives these technical terms like that. I'm not sure what text it is. Someone told me one time, but I have to note it down. This is called Shravana Dasha, always hearing about Krishna. The stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance. Yeah? This is called Varana Dasha. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Avastha, the stage of remembering, Smarana. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smaranam. So Smaranam is a very technical form of meditation. You find different places, Prabhupada's giving the different levels. What we're doing right now is smarnam, right? If you're actually understanding, if you're just hearing, okay, that's kira, that's shravanam. But if you're actually trying to focus and catch what the idea is and put it in place and fit it into your logic and change things, that's smarnam. First level of smarnam is intellectual appreciation. Because you see, it takes an absorption. Like that, you know? Then after that, it becomes, you can chant in ecstasy. You know? Okay. At first, the remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted. Yeah? Okay. But later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. Okay. You're always thinking about Krishna, cooking the Rajboga offering, distributing prasadam, going to buy this, chanting around, read a little bit. You get to see your sadhana as always. You're always engaged, you know, remembering Krishna. His service. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated. Okay? Intense, uninterrupted. And it's called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. Okay? By uninterrupted, unceasing anusmriti, one enters into the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smarna dasha, or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and can clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is, seems to be for sure saying we came from Goloka, remembering our position. Or from wherever, Vaikuntha or something. That is called Sampati Dasha, the perfection of life. Yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the direction of Scripture. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, pastime, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regular principles, mangalarti, you know, class, this and that. This is called raga bhakti, or devotional service and spontaneous love. At that stage, a devotee can follow in the footsteps of an eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. Okay? This is called raganuga. Yeah? Raganuga bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in shantaras, when one aspires to be like Krishna's cow. Okay, or the stick, or the flute in Krishna's hand. My God, wow! Or the flower garland around Krishna's neck. God, it's pretty elevated. In Dasya Ras, one follows the footsteps of servants like Chitrak, Patrak, and Raktak. I've initiated a few devotees with those names. In the friendly Sakya Ras, one becomes a friend like Baladev, Sridham, or Sudham, Vatsalya. Criminal affection, Nanda, Yashoda, Madhurya, Radharani, or her lady friends, such as Lalita, and her serving maids, Manjaris, Rupa, and Rati. So I guess Raghunath is Rati, Manjari. Yeah? Yeah. This is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. Okay. Any questions? Complaints? From Jai Krishna Das, you have any questions? Thank you. We're here in Radadesh.
Where is that?
That's in Belgium. Tell the devotees where you are. Tell the devotees where you are.
I'm in Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. Mother Radha, you have any questions? We're in the temple room in Radadesh. It's 8:30 at night.
Oh, so you're
breaking up. Okay. Mother Mahalakshmi, you have any comments, questions, complaints?
No, thank you
very much. Okay. All right. So that's about it. It's 8:30 here. Yes, okay, Prabhu. No, that what happened, it was a remembrance. It was remembrance things. And one devotee, he was present in the temple at that time and wherever it was. And it was many, but for quite some time. But then he said that Shyamasundar was just taking money from the treasury thing to go and do this preaching program, flying here for that preaching program, flying here for there, staying in hotels like that or something like that. You know? And so they were having trouble with the finances, and it all appeared to everybody it wasn't really for you know, for preaching. He wasn't chanting his rounds or something. So everybody was disturbed. They wanted to go to Prabhupada and complain, but people were afraid of complaining. So he said that he then went with Ribhatinandan Swami, and this whole incident happened, and he started to complain. Then Prabhupada, you know, just told it. He said to Ribhatinandan Swami, tell him to leave immediately. You know, Ribhatinandan Swami said, well, Prabhupada wants you to leave. You know, I said, it was, you know, I can imagine how intense it was. This is why one should not get too close or too far away from a king, a fire, or a Brahmin. If you get too close to a Brahmin, you can get burned. You know. But it was all auspicious. He said he really, this was happening. And he realized, yeah, I came here to hurt another devotee. And to hurt a devotee, I didn't see how much he'd sacrifice everything, so many things. That's a qualified person. He could have been a very big guy in the material world very easily, but he sacrificed it all to become, you know, yeah. So that's, you know, how to take shelter of an advanced devotee. And again, maybe they have defects. And so in terms of Prabhupada, we can see people's position. You know, I know, I mean, many are very senior devotees. I mean, so one of them was very senior devotee and everything else, but then he started to have problems. He was drinking beer, turning his receipts into the treasury. He wasn't like hiding it at all. And having big problems, you know. But everybody made this comment, yeah, he's really fallen into, you know, sinful activities, but still, he's more Krishna conscious than any of us. It was just a fact. He was always lamenting about how ashamed he was, you know, in terms of if he had to go before Prabhupada now, how ashamed he would be and everything else. But there's reactions. You know, Mars Bharata became a deer, right? What is speaking doing? Bumblebee, he became an animal. It was like, oh, Prabhu! You know. You become a pig like that. Last night you were a human being, now you become a pig, you know. Yeah. But you know what did Maharaj Bharata do when he became a deer? Where did he hang out? Huh? He stayed by somebody's ashram like that and stuff, and it was always probably hearing the Krishna Katha and stuff. You know? Yeah. So we may have moral fall down from the stage of Madhyamadhikarya or Uttamadhikarya, but usually we don't fall down from being devotees. Right? Yeah, like that's what it means. You'll go, oh, Madhyamadhikarya, Uttamadhikarya, I can't fall down. No, they don't fall down from being devotees, but they may have different reactions, you know, for different things like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And what were you saying about this?
Yeah. No, that when Prabhupada, because in the very, very last verse, last paragraph of text number 5, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, people quote it because there it says one should accept an Uttamadhikari as spiritual master. So the Ritviks, whoever they are, so many people, they also quote this, that Prabhupada's the only guru, this and that. If you read the whole thing, Prabhupada says a Kanista, he says a neophyte or devotee in the middle platform, a Kanista Adhikari, a Majjhima Adhikari can accept disciples, okay, but because of the immature guidance, they will not be able to give their disciples complete guidance. Therefore, one should accept an Uttama Adhikari as a guru, you know. So it's the indefinite article like that. You know? And so that's exactly what was happening when Prabhupada was here, you know. You know, again, these senior devotees like Hansa Duda, Bhagavan, Kirtananda, so many, they were all gurus. And not just like put your tilak on or this kind of thing, but they were giving advice, directing people, talking their consciousness. And one letter Prabhupada said, I'm the Diksha Guru, but you are the Shiksha Gurus. Like that. So, but then, again, if there's some problem, which different people have problems, and by hearing Prabhupada's books, accepting Prabhupada as Uttamadhikari Guru, like that, then we can see everybody. And I'm 20% consciousness, Krishna conscious, he's 60% Krishna conscious. He's three times more purified than I am. But I won't listen to him. Prabhupada's my guru, Prabhu. No. Yeah. He's three times. But every now and again he makes a mistake. I can see from... And he tells me, you know, in good consciousness, I was going to tell you, I'm about 60% Krishna conscious. You know, so, you know, one out of three times I'm wrong. You know? But two out of three times I'm right. You know? And four out of five times you're wrong. Like that. You say, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, okay. So when I'm on an odd platform and you're on a good platform, then you can see because well, who's the Uttamadhikari? He tells you, Prabhupada. Prabhupada's our guru, you know. And therefore, everything's okay. You know? And we can see everybody and we can make a lot of progress. Like that. Yeah.
So when I hear, when I'm
Yeah. A big jump, big jump.
Because when I read it, I thought, oh, I can just go to my friends, go to the non-asking for help. But
yeah.
I think about it, like, no, it's none of our.
No, because when you come to this, you begin to appreciate what ruchi means, taste. Most of our taste in the beginning is this relief from material suffering, you know. From, oh, I'm getting such a taste in Krishna consciousness. Oh yeah, I've stopped smoking, you know. Yeah, that happiness is relief from distress. Ruchi means actually you're tasting something positive, like that, in the form, the name, the pastimes. They're all connected, like that. So when you're tasting it, you're addressing the deities every day, like that, you know, the gopis. And then you're thinking about how, you know, I mean, for example, Radha Gokulananda in Berkeley, you know, Radharani cannot appear in public without clothes on. You know, some deities of Radharani, they already have clothes on, right? Radha Gokulananda, she doesn't. You know, she has some clothes, but not enough to appear in public like that. You know, so she has to be dressed. You know, so if you're a brahmachari bathing Radha Gokulananda, you can't do this and think of yourself as in a male body. You can't do it. Otherwise, automatically you're gonna have all kinds of weird thoughts, you know, going on. So that I was doing it, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just I'm a servant of Mother Yashoda. I'm the other, my children. Okay, so I could maintain that consciousness for maybe 2 minutes. 2 minutes I could, and I could, other thoughts would come, I'd keep them out of my mind and stuff, and yeah, and I could actually appreciate, you know, something nice about being a gopi and helping bathe Mother Yashoda, bathe Radha and Krishna, the little boy and girl like that and stuff, you know. So this is Nikunja Yuno, Ratikeli Siddhayi. Yeah, we're doing it, but like Madhya Madhikari, we can do it for some time, we can do it enough to keep ourselves from being agitated, and then we have a taste for it, what it's like to be like a, you know, in a female body, helping Yashoda, you know, bathing their children. Yeah, yeah. So it's there, you know. But it's not continuous, it's not deep, you know. Okay, but it's there. And then we start to build it. Yeah? So that's Raga Nuga. Okay, last question. Arjuna says, Sarvam etad ritan manye yamam vadashi keshava. I totally accept as truth everything you've said, O Krishna. But then he asks more questions for our benefit. At that point, Sarvam etad ritam rita, truth, Sarvam etad ritan manye yamam vadashi keshava. Yeah. Because now he knows who Krishna is, he knows who he is, he knows specifically what he has to do in a confidential fashion, like that. Yeah. Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Thank you all in Dominican Republic, Vrindavan, and New York. Okay. See you tomorrow. Die. Okay. And now, thank you. I think too. It's also impressive for me too. Yeah. Ah. Here.